If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 10. I'm going to read a large portion of Scripture to you today. So just get ready. But I want to begin, before I read out of Acts, I want to preface that with a passage out of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. Beginning of verse 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and the bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." That's always my prayer, that God's word will go forth and it will accomplish that which he sent it forth to do. For you, maybe that's the power of God unto salvation for you. To call the sinner to repentance, and for the conversion of sinners, for the comfort of the saints, for those that are saved. The power of God is comfort to you. Maybe, though, maybe the purpose of the reading of God's word is for some so they'll have no excuse upon that day. They'll have no excuse. And maybe that's the purpose of the reading of God's word. No excuse to say, "But we didn't hear. I didn't know any better." When Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," you'll have no excuse. I pray that that is not you. Oh, I pray that that's not you this morning. But I wanted to preface our reading out of the book of Acts today, because God's word is powerful and effective. His word alone. If all I did was just stand up here and read God's word, man, couldn't God do some good stuff with that? Out of Acts, Acts chapter 10, this passage, I did take the our motto for today, the title of my sermon, Rise, Kill, and Eat. I did take it out of this passage. And I even found a cool little picture. Taylor, if you can throw that picture up there on the screen, I'd appreciate that. Arise, kill, and eat. That's scripture, y'all. That's scripture. I thought, opening day, opening weekend of deer season, what an appropriate message. Arise, kill, and eat. I have a brother-in-law, Glenn, and he's a big-time hunter. This is his favorite scripture. He said, "That's my verse. Rise, kill, and eat. I can live by that." Yeah, so, Acts chapter 10. I'm going to read quite a bit of this to you this morning. Actually, just beginning at the first of the chapter. And let's just saddle up and go with it. "At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. One day, about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, 'Cornelius.' Cornelius stared at him in fear. 'What is it, Lord?' he asked. The angel answered, 'Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now, send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants, told him everything that had happened, and sent them to Joppa. Verse 9, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry, and he wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, here it is, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was, and they stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. Get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Verse 21, Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and he called together his relatives and his close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "Four days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gift to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.' Then Peter began to speak. 'I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of the peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We were witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him to dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few more days. May God bless the reading of his word this morning. There is a lot of stuff there. And you're probably sitting there asking, wow, how many points is going to be in this sermon? That's a lot of scripture. Well, let me just tell you, there's three. Any good Baptist preacher is going to have 3 points, right? I got 3 points. But just to kind of summarize this passage, Cornelius had a vision from God, right? At the same time, actually not at the same time, Cornelius got the vision and said, send some men to Joppa to get a man named Simon, also known as Peter, staying with another Simon, the tanner, by the sea. Scripture tells us that immediately he called in. Now, he's a centurion. He's in charge of 100 soldiers. Okay, he's a well-respected, and when he says something, his soldiers do it. Well, he called some of men and said, go to Joppa, find Simon, also known as Peter, staying with Simon the tanner by the sea. Find him and bring him back to me. And he sent one of his most devout followers, soldiers, to go. Well, the next day, because it's a couple days travel, the next day, Peter gets a vision. The sheep coming down out of heaven, filled with all kinds of animals. And maybe you're not real clear on, well, what's the big deal about all the animals? Let me tell you something. According to Leviticus chapter 11, there were several types of animals that the Jews were instructed not to eat. Okay? They were unclean animals. The animals acceptable for human consumption were those that they could eat, those that chewed the cud and had a split hoof. Cows. They could eat cows. Okay? Horses don't have a split hoof. Okay? So they should not eat horses. Of marine life, only creatures with fins and scales were permissible. Eels, out of the question. Guess what? Catfish, out of the question. Okay? No scales. Only fish with scales and fins were permissible. Reptiles were not to be eaten. No fried rattlesnake. No gator tails. Okay? They didn't have Gator Fest, where you got to walk around and eat fried alligator. No reptiles. There were also a list of birds not to be eaten, including the eagle, vulture, the raven, the owl, and the hawk. Don't eat those. Insects were also unclean, except for locusts, crickets, or grasshoppers. Could eat those. They were kosher. Okay? So that was part of the law. Well, guess what kind of animals were in this sheet that Peter saw coming out of heaven? Filled with all kinds of four-footed animals, all kinds, including, well, also reptiles. God says, arise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter saw that, and he's like, oh, this must be a trap. Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten an unclean animal. And God says, don't you call. Don't you call something unclean that I've made clean. What was Peter's problem? What was Peter's issue? That's right. Peter was prejudiced. I had talked about food, but you go on, you'll see that he was a Jew. In his mind, Jesus came for the Jews. Everybody else was just out of luck. Matter of fact, he didn't want them to believe because they were unclean. They were different. God had to teach Peter. So, get this. Peter gets his vision. the next day, this is a day after, maybe 2 days after Cornelius got his vision. Peter gets the vision. He's like, wow, okay, I'm still pondering what this vision means. Peter, we're from Cornelius. We're sent to get you. He says, well, I'm the man you're looking for. What do you want? He said, you need to come. Talk to Cornelius. Peter follows him. They say, well, it's too late to travel tonight. Let's leave in the morning. They get up in the morning. They travel. They spend the night on the road. Get up the next day. They make it on into Cornelius' house. Shows up. Cornelius has got what waiting for him? Everybody. It's a crowd. Says, come in. He said, okay, I'm here. God has clearly shown me that I should not be prejudiced against you. I should not consider you unclean, that no man is unclean. So now I'm here. What do you want? He said, speak God's word to us. And he did. And what happened as a result of that? People got saved. Guess what? Gentile people got saved. Gentiles are anybody that's not a Jew. Okay? You and me. Unless you're Jewish. But if you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. And they were getting saved. Three points. First point is this. Knowing and fearing God is not enough. Cornelius feared God. It said the scripture says he was a God-fearing man. He prayed. He was generous. But there was something missing. Cornelius and his family, they were devout and God-fearing. They were generous. They prayed. But they did not know Jesus and therefore were without salvation. How do I know that? Scripture tells me. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. You see, even knowing who Jesus is not the same thing as knowing Jesus, y'all. How many of you know who Billy Graham is? How many of you know him personally? There's a difference, isn't there? There's a difference between knowing who he is and knowing him personally. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You see, Cornelius was searching. He was seeking. He was earnest. I mean, he was a God-fearing man. He prayed, and he was seeking. And guess what God did? He rewarded that. He rewarded that. He said, send for Peter. God fearing is not enough. There must be a personal relationship that comes through Jesus Christ. That's it. It's the only way. Point number two. If God tells you something, obey it. Because he's probably already set the stage for something great. Follow me here. When Peter got his vision, don't consider anything unclean that I've made clean. Right? When he gets this vision, what had God already been doing? Men were on the road already coming to get him. As soon as he got through seeing the vision, he was still mesmerized by it and trying to understand it. They were already knocking on the door, a 2 days journey. 2 days ago, Cornelius had his vision. He sent men immediately. So by the time Peter got his vision, God had already been at work. So if God gives you something, if he tells you to do something, obey it, because something has already been in the works, y'all. Cornelius, These men were already on the way when Peter got his vision. You can be obedient still. You can still be obedient even if you don't fully understand what God is doing. Peter didn't really understand. I mean, he got all the way to Cornelius' house and said, okay, I'm here. Why am I here? He didn't really understand it until he was there. But he was obedient, right? What is it that God is telling you to do that you don't really understand? What is it? My charge to you was be obedient in it. And he'll reveal it to you in his timing. Maybe there's a Sunday school youth Sunday school teacher here today. Maybe you're here today and God's calling you to do that. And you're like, I don't understand. I don't know why, but I just kind of be obedient. Be obedient. God will explain it to you. He'll show you in his time. Cornelius had been preparing also. After he sent his men to go find Simon, also known as Peter, staying with Simon the tanner by the sea. I've got that part memorized. I don't know if y'all caught that or not. He sent him. He didn't just sit back and wait. He did what? He got busy. He said, y'all come. Send out some invitations. Go get my relatives, get my close friends. Have them at my house. Something's going to happen. Get them here. Get them here. I want a crowd. I want my friends, my relatives, because they need this. I want them here. Get them here. He was busy. What's that mean for us? The Lord gets ready to reveal something to you. Share it with some folks. Share it with some folks. Maybe all you can do is tell them, I don't know what it is, but it's going to be good. I don't know what it is, but let's get ready. Something's happening. Point number three. Y'all see, I'm flying through this stuff. So, I will warn you that point three is the longest point, though. Here's my point number three. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. There are no better than others. We're all on level ground at the foot of the cross. How do you respond to people that are different than you? You see, Peter was prejudiced. Peter had issues. We have issues. How do we respond to people that are different than us? How do we respond to people who look different or maybe dress different than we do? How do we respond to people who have different values than us? Maybe they drink a lot or curse, or maybe they sleep around. How do we respond to that? How do we respond to people from different religions than you and me? Most of us will have to admit that deep down inside, somewhere we have some prejudices. We feel uncomfortable around people that are different from us. Maybe that's racial. Maybe that's religious. Maybe that's social economic. Maybe it's just whatever. But we find that we're uncomfortable around people that aren't like us. Sometimes our prejudices will show through as an indictment on Christianity, y'all. Because as Christians, we know that we're required to love everyone, even those who are different from us. You see, that's what God taught Peter. This is the same Peter, y'all, that was with Christ. Bold. I mean, the sword-swinging, water-walking, I'll follow you, don't wash my feet kind of Peter. I mean, this is that Peter, y'all. God was still straightening him out. He said, you're doing great. You're doing a great job, but listen, bud. You got an issue. It's not just for you and yours. It's for all mankind. The Apostle Peter, even though he was a great Christian leader, he struggled with prejudice. His prejudice was against the Gentiles. He did not think that Gentiles were worthy of God's grace. And he had a hard time accepting the fact that God was ready to include Gentiles in the kingdom. Peter, how did he respond? How did he respond to that? What did we talk about last week? Anybody remember? Nobody remembers. We talked about a world view. How do you view the world? Peter had one, didn't he? God didn't like his worldview. So God changed his worldview. Peter allowed God to change his worldview. Peter reconfigured how he saw the world. He no longer saw the world as us Jews and then everybody else down low. God showed him something, and he responded. Peter allowed God to change his worldview, the way that he saw the world, the way he saw life, the way he saw salvation. You see, God does not show favoritism. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Cornelius and Peter both, they model obedience to God's demands. Both at the point of salvation and throughout the Christian life. The Bible repeatedly teaches that obedience accompanies true faith. Did you hear that? Obedience accompanies true faith. Did Peter have true faith? Without a doubt, right? How did he show it? By obedience. Even when he didn't fully understand, God said, I've called some guys. They're coming to meet with you right now. They said, Peter, we want you to come and talk to Cornelius. He went. Still not knowing why. He got all the way there and said, why am I here? What do you need? They said, speak God's word to us. And so he did. He was obedient. Obedience always accompanies true faith. Do you have faith? Do you have faith here today, this morning? Is it evidenced by your obedience? That's like the difference between knowing who Jesus is and knowing Jesus. You may say, I have faith. I have faith. I've got lots of faith. But if you're not obedient, your faith is not evidenced. Your faith is then called into question. Your obedience will evidence your faith. Peter was faithful. Cornelius. God took care of Cornelius. Cornelius was a God-fearing man. He was generous. He prayed. He was devout. He was devoted. But he was missing Jesus. He was missing Jesus. So God took care of that because he was faithful. God is faithful. He'll be faithful to you too. Maybe you're God-fearing. Maybe you're doing all the right things. But you're missing something. Cry out to God. Cry out to God. That passage that I read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You cannot seek him through faith without the accompanying of obedience. It doesn't happen Do you have faith? Are you obedient? The two cannot be separate and accomplish the same task. We come to Jesus Christ through faith, not by works. Maybe you as a child walked the aisle. You said the prayer. Donna and I had a discussion in the office the other day. She said there's a difference between saying the prayer and praying the prayer. And it's true. I know lots of people who walk the aisle. They've said the prayer. They repeated the words. They got dunked in the booth. Got good and wet. I mean good and wet all the way from head to toe. But guess what? The faith was called into question because there was a lack of obedience. True faith is always accompanied by obedience. Will you be obedient? Will you be like Peter? Lord, I don't understand it all, but I hear you. And I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be obedient. God will show you in His time, and He'll reward you for your obedience. I'm not sure what's going on in your life today. Sometimes I'm not even sure what's going on in my life. But my prayer is this. My prayer is that we will be an obedient people, individually and collectively. But it starts in my heart, and it starts in your heart. We're getting ready, y'all, in the next couple weeks, we're going to start a sermon series on revival. We need revival. We need revival. Would anybody deny that we do not need revival? No, we need it. We need revival. So my prayer is, the Lord, send a revival. But let it begin with me. That's my prayer for us here, this church. Get ready. Get ready. But do like Cornelius did. Lord, send revival. But don't just sit back and wait for it to come. Get prepared. Get prepared. Because it's coming. I believe it with all my heart, y'all. Will you get ready? Will you be obedient with your faith? Will you put those together? I pray that you do. I pray that we do as a group. Because I think God wants to unleash something in our midst that's going to be remarkable. I believe it. I believe He wants to do that. I don't know what it is. I'm like, kind of like Peter right now. I don't really understand it all. But I'm going to be obedient. Will you be with me? Let's go. Let's go. Let's find out what it is. But we only experience it through obedience. Will you be obedient today? Maybe God's calling you to do something today. I pray that you respond today, while today is still called today. Maybe that's for salvation. I don't know. Maybe it's to refresh. Maybe God has identified some areas of your life where you've been kind of exclusive and thinking, well, maybe He's exposed some prejudices in your life. Deal with that stuff today. Be obedient to God. We're going to stand. Mark's going to lead us in just a couple verses of a song. You respond as God leads you. I'll be in the front, and the prayer benches are always open. This is your time.